Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today I am dropping in for another edition of Experiential Preaching. For those of you who may have missed it, Experiential Preaching is an ongoing series similar to Rabbit Trails, where I am expounding upon a recent sermon I preached versus just rehashing the sermon and or playing the audio clip for you. The difference is that when it comes to Rabbit Trail, I'm exploring a topic that I wish I would have had time to talk about or could have figured out a way to make it fit into the sermon. Whereas Experiential Preaching is a theory that I'm working with. I'm sure I'm not the first person to come up with this concept. A theory I'm working with of looking for opportunities to bring the congregation into the sermon. Experiential preaching is more than just light crowd work. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Lord bless you real good." And it's definitely not overly emotional sensationalism or big budget illustrations and stunts that, like, you know, go viral and make us all question what we're all doing with our lives at church. But instead, it's looking for genuine moments to bring the congregation into the sermon and making it a living, breathing organism rather than a static lecture. And for a recent sermon that I preached, I made the congregation be dirty hippies and meditate during the service. So I preached a two-part sermon at a church recently on Psalm 1 and 2. Both chapters are considered the blueprint to the rest of the book, though there's not an overarching theme or an overarching narrative, I should say, to the book of Psalms. These two basically set the tone for what is to be expected. The reoccurring similes, the reoccurring themes, things like that. And with Psalm 1, that was the first part and what this episode is going to be about. That one is a pretty well-known passage, you know, the righteous are not so. They are a tree planted by rivers of water that yield fruit in its season. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind blows around. All those kinds of things. And I actually brought up in week two during the recap that Psalm 1, although ancient Near Eastern poetry operated differently than how like modern American or Western poetry works, there is still something, like, even to Western ears, that Psalm 1 just kind of sounds and feels poetic, even though it doesn't follow our understanding of how poetry should be structured. I wish I could say the same thing about Psalm 2, but that is not the case, and we'll save that for next week's episode. But one of the big emphases of the first psalm is the importance of meditation, specifically how the righteous meditate on the law of the Lord and how they delight in it day and night. Now, there's a couple ways that people typically apply that part, the meditating on the law of the Lord. And I talked about both of them briefly in this sermon, how for us today, that means that we should value meditating on the literal law of the Lord, the actual, you know, that is what the original singers of this psalm would have been reminded, that the righteous, they meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, find delight in it. You know, later on, David's going to write Psalm 119, which is this, you know, this big love letter to the law. That's a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Psalms. And so, yes, it is good, even for us as modern Christians, to spend some time meditating on the law of the Lord. Though we may not be bound to it, there are still things that are important for us to know, to glean, to meditate on. Another way that this passage is often taken is to teach the importance of meditating on the whole scripture. You know, again, that's kind of how it's seen for the modern Christian of like, okay, so they would have specifically focused on meditating on the law of the Lord. We have the whole canon of scripture now, so we need to be meditating on all of it. And again, not going to argue with that. I think it is very good for us to meditate on the extent, the whole thing of the Bible. We should meditate on all of it. But the thing that I told the congregation is that I believe that the proper fulfillment of Psalm 1 for the modern Christian is to meditate specifically on the one who fulfilled the law of the Lord. The law is important. The law is helpful for us to meditate on. And obviously, we should be meditating on all of Scripture at some point. But I think the primary fulfillment for us as modern believers, the primary way that we fulfill this word in Psalm 1 is by spending time meditating on the one who fulfilled the law of the Lord, Jesus. That is how we as modern Christians meditate on the law of the Lord now, by meditating on Jesus. And of course, as one always does when they're talking about meditation in church, you make sure that we all understand what we're talking about. Although I do have, and I think I've talked about here on the show before, I do have a more of a generous perspective on meditation, particularly in relation to other religions. So meditation, as it has often been described in church, is the process of turning something over in your mind until you have fully grasped it or mastered it. And it is not an emptying of your mind and allowing anything in. That is not meditation. And as many Christians have misspokenly said, that is not how many world religions also practice meditation. Many religions practice meditation the same way that Christians do, of a process of trying to capture a thought and focusing in on that alone and turning it over in your mind until you have mastered it. Meditation is not the same as reading. So when we're talking about meditating on the law of the Lord, we're not talking about just reading Deuteronomy over and over and over and over again all day long, but instead capturing a thought and turning it over in your mind. Maybe it was something that you did read, or maybe it was something you heard preached on, and you capture that thought in your mind and focus in on it. Meditation has often been compared to a cow chewing the cud, and I'm sure people out there was waiting for that part. It's how a cow chews and chews and chews and chews their food over and over and over again. That is the idea of meditation. Yes, there are some religions and schools of psychology and philosophy out there that do advocate for the complete emptying of your mind, form of religion or form of meditation that has often been associated with meditation outside of Christianity. Transcendental meditation is usually what they are talking about when it comes to that. But other religions do practice the same kind of meditation that we are talking about here in Scripture. And so with all that groundwork, that took us into the experiential preaching moment. Because for me, I think there are just times, especially when we are dealing with spiritual disciplines, that has come up before here when I'm doing these experiential preaching episodes, that there are just times where, as the preacher, you need to get out of the way and have the people do the thing that you're encouraging them, exhorting them to do. Sometimes we need less talky and more, okay, now this space is yours. And that's what happened here. Interestingly enough, the church I was preaching at is a very small congregation, and there were it was an even smaller Sunday than normal. There was a few people sick, out on vacation, things like that. And so we actually, instead of sitting in the sanctuary and it being very empty, we actually all just sat around a table in the fellowship area. And it felt very intimate as a result. And so as I'm wrapping up this explanation of like what meditation is and all that, I tell them all, okay, now we are going to meditate. We are going to practice meditation in the church like a bunch of dirty hippies. This is a joke, just so we're all aware. So what I had them do, and again, we're all just kind of sitting around this table, and the emphasis is not just on meditating on the law of the Lord or all of Scripture, but trying to hone in on Jesus who fulfilled the law. What I had them do was to get as comfortable as they could, to maybe take a couple deep breaths, and then to just allow their minds to wander, invite the Holy Spirit in, until they landed on a thought revolving around Jesus. Maybe it was something that he did, like the feeding of the 5,000 or dying on the cross or anything like that. Maybe it was one of his teachings, like, let the little children come to me, or all ye who are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Or maybe it's one of his characteristics, like his love, his grace. Just allow your mind to rest on one of these things and just think about it. Just turn it over in your mind for a while. I don't know how long, if I'm being honest. I don't know how long we sat there, because obviously when you're in this kind of environment where it is dead quiet and no one's saying anything and there's no like engagement with other people, that kind of silence feels like a lifetime. It could have easily have been less than 30 seconds, if I'm being honest. I highly doubt it was longer than 2 minutes. But somewhere in there, we sat there in silent meditation, and then I closed us out in prayer. And since we were already in this rather intimate environment, sitting around this table and all, I went ahead and invited people into the sermon part. And I said, you know, is there anything that people want to ask questions about or contribute to what I talked about today out of Psalm 1? Does anybody want to share what they meditated on? And I did have one person in the group. I think a couple people kind of talked about the meditation practice, but I did have one person share a rather personal story about, I don't even really want to go into details, but a personal experience from way earlier in their life where him and his family had to really have some faith in Jesus during a very difficult time. And that was actually where his mind immediately went to in this. And, you know, it was just, what was interesting about that is that this actually continues an ongoing trend that keeps happening whenever I do one of these experiential preaching moments, is that there is a genuine moment of holy displays of emotion. In any other time I've done this experiential preaching, there is always a time where somebody wants to share or talk afterwards or something, and the person turns to tears. And for me, I am truly believing that those are genuine emotions, genuine expression of emotions. And here's why. I am not attempting to manufacture anything here. I do not go into these thinking, yeah, we're going to get them weeping by the end of this. We're going to hit the right chords in the song, and we're going to turn down the temperature in the sanctuary so that way everyone gets some, quote, chills of the Holy Spirit. And we're really going to manufacture we're going to manufacture the Spirit here today. No, that's not what I do here. My true-hearted goal is to bring people into the sermon. Here you are. I'm done talking. You go. You be a part of this now. And every time that I've done this, since I've been more intentional about these things, there is always a moment where somebody displays strong emotions. And I think that shows just how potentially powerful inviting these moments in. If you want genuine moments where people are connecting with God, connecting with each other, and it's moving them, it's ministering towards one another, it's inspiring them, it's bringing them to tears, then maybe we do less manufactured moments and instead do something as simple as let people meditate for a whole 30 seconds in church and then talk about it. Like, maybe we need less TED Talks with a Bible verse and more people of God gathered together being a part of what is going on instead of just sitting as spectators listening to a lecture. And that's other than this moment of this person sharing, I will say this just to counter, be faithfully honest a little bit here. I would say this is the first time where, though there was this one story, this one, you know, moving moment, this one didn't have as many chatters. The other times I've done this, there has been like a lot of talk afterwards or during the moment, a lot of engagement with one another. This one, people were a little bit more reserved, minus like one or two people. So again, a part of this is kind of like a homiletics, like really trying to grow as a preacher, working on theories that I have while I'm preaching, things like that. But yeah, that was, so what do we do? What do you take from this? Well, obviously, next time you do Psalm 1 as a sermon, invite them to meditate. And obviously, Psalm 1 is not, I almost said that very Chicagoan, Psalm 1 is not the one and only time the Bible talks about meditation, but I do think it is one of the go-to passages when this topic does come up. So I would encourage you, you know, next time that you are preaching that passage or any of them that are on meditation, again, instead of just like putting it on the to-do list that they may forget as soon as they get to the parking lot, just make the space for it in that moment. And I think one thing that continues to be a big part of experiential preaching is not just we're going to allow the people to have space to do the thing, though that is important. It is also giving them the space to share about doing the thing with one another. Those have been, again, genuine moments where community is taking place, where people are then building each other up, praying over one another. I think this is especially true. I think it was the last time I did this when I preached a very like short couple minute sermon on prayer and spent the whole rest of the time praying. There was continued prayer and encouragement among the people afterwards as well. Like, I really think instead of just giving people a to-do list, we would be wiser and do better if we just make the space for it in the sermon, in church, and then give people that space to talk about it as well. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please consider rating and reviewing this show wherever you get your podcasts and pass this episode along to a friend. Maybe you got a pastor who is looking for some inspiration on preaching. So I love to preach. I've been doing pulpit supply ministry for a little over 10 years now. And so I really enjoy, it's one of my favorite subjects to research, to practice. So pass this episode along to a friend, a pastor friend, whatever the case may be. And if you do preach regularly, check out, you know, there's a whole, I've done several other episodes on experiential preaching, on homiletics, hermeneutics, the whole thing. Check them out on here on the show. Check out the other, while you're checking things out, check out the other great shows here on the In Is Out Ministries Podcast Network, like the Whole Church Podcast, The Homily, and of course my sister show, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, A Place for Faith and Pop Culture. That's it for me for today's episode. I'll catch you all next time. But until then, this is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is for everyone. So keep on studying.